Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 to 30. Our lesson today will be on Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 to 30. Now I'm going to read these because they all have to do with something a man can do with his mouth, but look at the way that he's characterized here in this passage. Proverbs chapter 16, let's begin reading with verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips he bringeth evil to pass. Now, it will surprise you when you consider what the Lord has to say about this man. Because you would think by his titles, ungodly man, froward man, violent man, that he has to be one of the wickedest men in the earth. But when you see him in public, you might not even recognize him. And that's because he does his violent work with his mouth and not with a gun or a sword. That's why a leader like a Stalin or a Lenin or a Hitler or a Milosevic or a Mandela or whomever else you may want to put in this category, an Osama bin Laden, can be so devastating because they do more damage with their tongue than they do by actual physical violence. They stir up other people and get them to do it. Now this kind of fella, and I named ones that are in government, but he can be in government, he can be in church, he can be in business, he can be in school, he can be anywhere. Anywhere you have a group of people, this guy can show up. An ungodly man, a froward man, a violent man. Now remember, he is those three things. He's ungodly. If you read about Enoch's generation in Jude, they were an ungodly generation with ungodly words and ungodly deeds. It was a terrible generation. They were like Enoch's generation. And he is a froward man. It means he's away from God. Toward God would be a toward, you know, if it was such a thing, a toward man. A froward man is a crooked man. He's going away from God. And he's a violent man in verse 29, so he's like the Antichrist. There's a number of references in the Psalms to the violent man, and most of those are references not only to somebody in David's day, but also to somebody like the Antichrist. It typifies, this violent man typifies the Antichrist. The Bible says in Psalm 140, verse 1, for instance, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man." It's a singular person, but he's causing a great deal of problems. "Which imagine mischiefs in their heart." You see that? Singular reference, evil man, violent man, but which imagine mischiefs in their heart. "Continually are they gathered together for war." This is one man stirring up a lot of other men to do his dirty work for him. "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah." Well, the great serpent that uses his tongue to accuse the brethren is the devil. Verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings." So it's a reference in type to the Antichrist. Now, on the outside, the thing that's very difficult about this man is that on the outside, he may be as sugary as syrup. He may be a very charismatic leader with a very great following, and he may also be a man that gets great press. Look in Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and look at verse 21. All right. The Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So on the outside, this guy talks a great line. Words softer than oil, mouth smoother than butter. Paul warned you about this kind of fellow in Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. This kind of fellow, the kind of guy that he's warning you about, uses his mouth to say good things, but what he's doing is causing great division. In Romans chapter 16, verse 18, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. What are they doing? In verse 17, they are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So the thing that makes these guys hard to recognize is that what they say is good, and their speeches are fair, and their words are smoother than oil, softer than oil, smoother than butter. Sugary, sweet. Now, with a man like that, who speaks good words and fair speeches and has these really nice words to say, but who in his heart is ungodly and froward and violent, how in the world are you going to spot him? How are you going to know what he's really like? Well, there are several things he's going to do to occupy his time, and by these things you will recognize him, no matter how nice he may appear on the outside, no matter how sweet his words that come out of his mouth. You say, well, what will he do? According to the text, the first thing he'll do is he'll dig up evil. He digs up evil. Look in verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Now, what we say is he likes to dig up dirt on people. He's interested in the darker side. He's interested in the sin. He's interested in what the fella did that was wrong. You see, when we get saved and we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ and our sins are under the blood, what a man's done in his past really is of no business to anybody. God's forgotten. It's under the blood. But a lot of guys like to know that juicy stuff. They'll even pry and try to find out. If they can't find out from you, they'll try to find out from somebody else because he's interested in dirt. I know a fella, and he served the Lord very well. He's not serving the Lord now. He's a very bitter man now, but he served the Lord very well early on in his Christian life. And he got crosswise with a preacher and decided that he was going to nail that preacher. He was going to go after him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are times when men will get crosswise with each other and one man will be wrong. But for you to try to go after the guy in order to bring him down, you may find that you bring yourself down, because a lot of times God's going to forgive that fellow and allow him to keep on going because he's still very valuable for the body of Christ, though he may have hurt you personally. And there are people like that all over the world. You and that fellow may have gotten crosswise, but he's not crosswise with God enough to want God to take him out, although you want him down, or somebody else would want him down. Well, that's what happened to this fellow. He started sending out emails, and one email he sent, I got, and it was addressed from a fellow that went by the handle Need the Truth. Need the Truth. And he was questioning something that he could use against another preacher that he was mad at. And he wanted to know if I knew any of the details of this particular incident about which he was inquiring. And I wrote the guy back and I said, if you need the truth, why would you look for the truth in the city dump? Why would you try to dig up something about this man's past if you're needing the truth? And the truth of the matter was, he wasn't interested in the truth. He was interested in dirt, in evil. Now, this fellow that I'm talking about was a Christian. But I'm going to tell you something. According to the text, he was ungodly. Because that's not something God does. God puts that stuff under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he keeps it away from you. He doesn't want you to feel the guilt and shame of it. He doesn't want other people to have to be defiled by it. He doesn't want you to be weighed down by it, and he doesn't want other people using it against you. Now, I know sometimes men will give testimonies, and they go into some of the details. I've done it. I wish now that I never had. Because, listen, it suffice it to say that sin comes in all kinds of sizes and brands and shapes and colors and descriptions. You don't need to tell people much about what's going on in your past for them to get an idea that when God saved you, he pulled you out of some real wickedness. There was a time when it was very popular to drag people through the muck and the mire that you've been through. Well, all you do when you do that is you give ungodly people that want to use that stuff against you ammunition, because they're already interested in digging up dirt, and you spare them the work. Now, that's the first thing he does. He's going to be more interested in dirt and evil than he is in goodness and cleanness and about the great things that God's doing in your life. He's going to be wanting to hang around your vomit and hang around your pigsty. And that's the kind of thing lost people ought to be interested in, not saved people. But some saved people get involved in it. So if you're trying to find out whether or not you're in the company of somebody that's ungodly, somebody that you need to watch out for, you're going to find that they are always interested in the dark side, always interested in the past, always interested in the junk. Okay? All right, the second way to identify him, though his words may be very nice and fair, is that he uses the dirt to burn people. He uses the dirt to burn people. Look again, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, verse 27 says, and then goes on to say, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Well, now we know that the burning fire exists there because James chapter 3 tells us about it. James chapter 3 says that that tongue that you have and the tongue that I have is an unruly evil. And that this tongue, even though it's a little member, it will boast great things, and it can kindle a great fire. Verse 6 of James chapter 3 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. All right, the people take that dirt and use it to burn people. Listen, when somebody uses something against you, they say, man, he really got burned. Because the lips are a burning fire. Now you check a man, and if he's telling stuff about somebody else, he is trying to ruin another person. He is trying to assassinate their character. He is trying to assassinate their reputation and color it and cloud it. Now, if you've lived very long as a Christian and tried to do something for the Lord, this kind of thing has come up against you. As a matter of fact, you may have done it, but it may have come up against you. I've had it used against me, and the right thing to do, I'll just tell you from experience, is forgive them, but don't forget. People say you're supposed to forgive and forget. You forgive them, but don't forget. What I mean by that is you've got to be careful, because sometimes people will try to get in with you in close association so that later they know enough about you to be able to use what they've learned to try to destroy you if the relationship falls apart. So forgive, but don't forget. That is, don't let it happen to you again. Remember the old saying, if I get burned once, shame on you. If I get burned twice, shame on me. Remember that saying? All right, well, remember that saying. There's a lot of truth to it, even in Christianity. You know, and it'll surprise you who will do this kind of thing to you. I remember a lady that we helped, and a lot. And she had some friends that were in another church, and it got back to me that this woman was using her tongue to run down our work and to run us down personally. And I suppose that it's because she was close enough to have some juicy gossip or something like that. And so she said things, some of which wasn't even true, in order to try to, I don't know, get in good with the other people, I suppose. Whatever it is, it's ungodly. And so if you're trying to spot the ungodly, froward, violent man, you can spot him because he likes to tell the dirt in such a way that it's going to hurt the other person's reputation or hurt their character. Okay? Here's the third thing he's going to do. He's going to sow strife. He's going to sow strife. And you know from reading the Bible in Proverbs that God hates a man that sows strife and who sows discord among brethren. He hates that kind of thing. He doesn't only hate the discord, he hates the man. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, even seven are an abomination unto him. Some of these things are things, and some of these things are people. The sixth or seventh thing that he hates is he, it's the man, that soweth discord among brethren. And that's what this guy does. He sows strife. He sows strife. And the Lord hates him. Now, he's not happy if things are running smoothly. That's just his problem. Look what it says here, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife. He's not happy if things are running smoothly. He's got to stir it up. He's got to stir up trouble, and he's got to get people mad with each other. You know, I knew a fellow like that. And it was an amazing thing, but the bitterness, just the disgust was written all over his face. You know, people talk about body language. Well, you could see this. You know, it was just written on the guy's face. And, I mean, when you see it, you didn't even want to believe that it was so, but it was. And it was his desire to stir up trouble and get people mad with each other. And, you know, at first I just thought, well, that's just the countenance of the fellow. That's just the way he looks. But the more that I watched and the more that I hung around, the more that I realized he used the position that he had to make sure that people would get mad with each other. He was constantly looking to make enemies out of friends. Now, this kind of thing plagued the Corinthian church. Now, you see, I tell you these things, and I say these people can be in government, they could be in your business, they may be in your family. I mean, I'm not sure where they are. Anywhere there's a group of people, you're going to find these guys. But they may be in your church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Now, that's not God. That's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Yes, of course. What a guy like that will do is he will get a fight going, and he'll keep it going. Now, he is a clever type of a fella. He doesn't get involved in the fight himself. He's the one that starts the fight. And then he cleverly keeps himself on the sidelines so that when that fight is over, he can start another one. You got to watch them. They're bad. Be sure of this. That's not God. God likes us to be like-minded, to be of one mind, to mind the same things, to get along. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You can't do that if you've got a guy in there that is a froward man sowing strife. He won't let it happen. And you got to mark him. He may, like I said, man, he may be nice, and he may say sweet things to you and all that, but you watch him. If what he says about other people is the kind of thing that causes other people to get fighting mad, that dude, as nice as he may appear, is an ungodly, froward, violent man. The next thing he does that marks him is he breaks up friendships. He breaks up friendships. Look at verse 28 again. "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Now, the way he does this, he does it behind their backs, by whispering, see? By whispering. Whisperer separated chief friends. He's not public about it. Real quiet. Uses stealth. "Get you over here in the corner. Come here, I need to talk to you. Tell you a little something about the guy." The whole purpose is he is trying to break up your friendship. Now, he would be the kind of guy or the kind of woman that says something like this. If it affected him personally, he would say, "If you're going to be friends with them, then you cannot be friends with me. Or, as long as you have anything to do with him, I won't support you." Now, that's the way it affects missionaries and preachers. And the way that it affected Jonathan and Saul over David. You see, these missionaries and preachers, I mean, it is very important for us to be able to have a They use the word network today. That's just a coin phrase. A network is for computers, not for friends, as far as I'm concerned. But I understand the phrase, and I use it so you can understand. People have to have a network of friends, so they got to have this group of friends. Well, if there's somebody that tries to work his way into that group of friends, and they see you as a threat to their entrance to that, you know what they do? They put bad stuff out on you to get you exiled from the group so they can work themselves in. They break up friendships. As long as you have anything to do with him, I won't support you. Preachers are terrible about that with certain missionaries. Like, where did you go to school? You see, they try to use that as a point of fellowship. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Now, Jonathan and Saul, Jonathan was Saul's son. Saul was very envious because he knew that David was going to get the throne. And David and Jonathan loved each other. Their love exceeded the love of women, the Bible says. And so what did Saul do? He tried his best to break the friendship between Jonathan and David by, first of all, convincing Jonathan that he was a terrible son, a shameful son for even having anything to do with David, and then he tried to kill David. It's kind of the thought that a friend of his is an enemy of mine. Well, you gotta watch that stuff. Now, the way this guy may work, he might do it by buying your confidence in him and then by running down your confidence in your friend once you are owned. So you got to watch that guy. He's froward, an ungodly, froward, violent man. Here's the next thing he does. He entices people. Verse 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. He entices people. He spends his time cooking up schemes and bringing them to pass by leading others with his mouth into devious actions. And that's how you can spot him. He tries to entice you. His strength is in getting up a following. That's how he accomplishes his deed. He accomplishes his deed through the following, by getting somebody else to go along with him. Now, I can tell you a classic example of this was Judas Iscariot. And if you'll remember to go back into your Bible and study that episode where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and anointed his head before his burial, you know, right there around the time of the Lord's Supper. All right, Judas Iscariot was there, and he was the first one that made a critical remark about what Mary was doing. He said, could not this ointment have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And it could have. Now, once he started it, that got the other disciples eyeing Mary and eyeing this great waste, and before it was over, they were talking bad about her. Who got the thing started? Judas Iscariot. How? By simply making a little critical remark. And then he enticed the disciples to get involved. And you know what? He was not concerned about the waste whatsoever from the standpoint that it was, you know, too much ointment on Jesus Christ. All he was interested in was selling that thing because he had the bag and he was a thief. He was an ungodly, froward, violent man. He's the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the one that cooked up the accusation against something that Jesus said would be spoken of wherever the gospel is preached, and all four gospels record this event. So that's how you spot this guy, no matter how slick and smooth and lovable and fun and all that other kind of stuff that he is. If he digs up evil, uses it to burn people, sows strife, breaks up friendships, and entices other people to go along with him, then you got a bad cat with you, and you just got to know him for who he is. Now, some people have pet snakes, okay? This guy may be in your business, he may be in your family, he may be in your church, and it may be that it's not convenient to for him to be out of the position that he's in, and particularly if he's a family member. He's your family, you can't get rid of him. I mean, and if he's not doing something that's just heinous, you might not see him leave the church, but you better know him. You better know that that dude that is a pet is a snake. That's what you better know about him. You better know that, and you better be on guard. And you say, well, then what's the solution? Well, the solution is very simple. And it's so simple that it might surprise you, because what you would think, if this guy is an ungodly, froward, violent man, you got to kill him. You got to, you know, bust him. Well, the solution is simpler than that. All you got to do is cut him off. That's all you got to do. Just cut him off. Don't give him an ear. Don't give him an ear. Because without your ear, he has no place to go with his bad mouth. Or if you have to have some dealing with him and he uses the bad mouth, don't buy the thing. Don't buy the thing. I mean, you don't have to argue with him. You don't have to do anything. Just don't buy what he's saying. Just go on your own way. Don't play along. Don't get involved. Don't repeat the matter. Don't become the puppet. Don't be enticed. Don't change your friendship with the person he's trying to break. Don't continue the strife. Don't repeat the matter, see? Just don't give him an ear. Just in one ear and out the other ear, and don't pay any attention to what he's saying. Because, again, without your ear, he has no place to go with his bad mouth. Listen, if he digs up evil and tells you and you don't do anything with it, then what good is it? If he tries to use it to burn other people and he tells you and you don't use it to burn a friend or to break off a friendship or to further the strife, and you're not enticed to play along with him, then it's of absolutely no value whatsoever. I've had people do that. Being in the ministry, we're approached, haven't been approached in a long, long time, thank God, but I've been approached before by people that wanted me to carry the banner for them. You know, and I realized a long time ago, they'll get you to start carrying the banner for them, and then when you look back, you'll be out there alone, and they'll be back there in the choir loft playing footsies with other people so they can stay in good to continue to do their discord, and you're the one that gets burned because you took the ball and ran with it. Sound familiar? Don't give them an ear. Don't buy what they're saying if they're stirring up dirt, and I've had a lot of people throw dirt my way, I mean about other people. I don't even pay any attention to it. Don't even pay any attention to it. As far as I'm concerned, it's not even real. The people that they were trying to destroy are still friends of mine because I realized what they were doing. The trouble was with the ungodly, froward, violent man, not with my friend. These things were not objective. They were evil and designed to cause strife and designed to break up friendships. David and Jonathan never lost their friendship just because Saul was upset, and you don't need to lose your friendship just because there's somebody trying to break up your friendship. Don't buy it. Don't go for it. Just quit listening to it. It's the only way to deal with it. Now that, my friend, is the ungodly, froward, violent man. You wouldn't think of him as bad a guy as he really is, but God does, and that's why he told you exactly what he is. Just don't forget it, okay? Just don't forget it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.